Last month, we introduced a new series we call JX Outside. We invited a couple of resident outdoor enthusiasts to be our guides and to help us learn more about the activities outside our region of Southern Oregon and Northern California. Nicole Larson is here with us in the studio. She loves horses, backcountry skiing, and mountain biking. She's a lifelong trail runner who grew up on Mount Ashland and now lives on a small ranch in Northern California. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
And Ray Pettingill is our other resident guide, but he's currently climbing mountains in the Swiss Alps. He's going to join us later in the program. Sitting in for Ray today is Jennifer Bray. Jennifer is from Etna, California, with 26 years of experience in wildland firefighting in the Klamath Mountains. She plans to retire in 2 years, after which she hopes to be a guide on Mount Shasta. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Jennifer, let's start with you. Where is Etna, and what do you do there?
Etna is 60 miles southwest of Ashland in far northern California, and there's a plethora of outdoor adventures all across Siskiyou County to enjoy.
So tell me about this wildland firefighting.
I have been in wildland fire for the last 26 fire seasons on the Klamath National Forest, and I've seen so many nooks and crannies of the Klamath Mountains, and there's just adventure in every single one of them.
So you spend a lot of time outdoors.
I do. Waterfall chasing and cold plunges and hiking to the peaks. You know, it's an outdoor wonderland.
What's your favorite thing to do?
I am in every direction you go in Siskiyou County. There's a beautiful body of water, high mountain lakes, creeks, rivers. But the peaks are probably my favorite because it alters my perception and reminds me that I need to elevate in order to change my mind.
Okay, so when you say the peaks, are you talking hiking or are you talking climbing? What are you doing up there?
Hiking and climbing to the tallest peaks I can get to. Russian Peak is a good one. It's 8299, I think, in elevation. It's a beautiful view of the Marble Mountain Wilderness. But then the Russians also have, you know, their beauty as well. So it's just out.
And you want to be a guide on Mount Shasta?
I do. I have climbed Shasta 3 times for the Breast Cancer Prevention Partners with the Shasta Mountain Guides, and I fell in love with Jen and Chris Carr, and we talk about how after I retire, maybe I can help them out guiding.
Okay. So this is the fall season, and we're in October, so everyone's preparing for Halloween. What do people do outdoors?
Wow. Well, in Halloween time, it is adventurous just to cruise around town. As we were driving in today, I think we saw a couple of big spiders under the maple trees. It was beautiful. But in general, this fall season has been super special. We haven't had a lot of weather, so it's been warm and great time to get out on the trails, walking, biking, horses, you name it. And now that we had this last big storm, we have snow in the high country, which is still adventurous. Like, you could still get up there and get on the trails. I was just talking with Jen about her adventure yesterday to Etna Summit, and there was just a little bit of snow. So the trails are still open, which is great.
What about Mount Shasta? Mount Ashland.
So there's a little bit of snow. We saw it coming over today. And I think they even had a little bit, if I'm correct, at their Halloween bash they had last weekend. I think it was a 3-day event where they opened up one of the chairlifts and they had a Halloween, like, you know, adventure where you rode up on the chairlift and then you came down and got to go to, I guess, little candy, little spooky, little this and that. I sent my parents to go, and they said it was super fun. They're in their 60s, and they enjoyed it.
Is there snow up there for skiing right now?
Not yet. Not enough snow for skiing, but there's enough snow for the joy.
Okay. All right. So where else can we go for Halloween treats outdoors?
We do have a couple of events, because, as you know, last weekend was a very popular weekend for Halloween corn maize and whatnot, but it was super stormy. We had an atmospheric river, so most of us stayed inside. But we still have Pheasant Field Farms just between Ashland and Medford, and they are open through the rest of this week, and they have a corn maze and the pumpkin patch. It's a nice way to get outside and still be festive.
So that's a harvest festival.
Exactly. And then I haven't been to this one, but this sounded pretty amazing. They call it a massive labyrinth. It's a corn maze in Fort Vanoy Farms, and that's in Grants Pass on the Rogue River. And they are a farm that's set in, like, very traditional farming methods. but they have this 8-acre massive labyrinth. To me, that sounds very exciting.
So you get lost in there.
I would assume so. I don't know. I feel like I need to go. But it's all through this next weekend, which is really neat that it continues past Halloween.
Okay, and that's in Grants Pass?
And that is in Grants Pass. I believe we have it in the notes up on them.
Okay, so this is the time of year that the leaves are falling, but so's the temperature. What are we going to do now? How do we prepare?
Well, I mean, we both are quite adventurous all year round, Jen and I both. And it is the time to get out and about, catch the high mountain trails before they get fully covered in snow. And so right now it's really about preparing yourself with the proper gear. Mm-hmm. Right, Jen? When you're going out, what's the first thing you think of taking?
I would rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So I am all about layers. I would rather take layers off than need them, you know. And so I carry everything.
Okay, I want to talk more about that in just a moment. I want to remind our audience, my guests are Nicole Larson and Jennifer Bray. They're serving as our outdoor guides today on JX Outside. Jennifer is sitting in for Ray Pettengill, who is somewhere in the Swiss Alps. He's going to join us in a moment. Layers. Tell me about more layers. What do we need to think about when we prepare to go outside with layers?
That cotton kills, and if you have cotton close to your body, it can help your body go into hypothermia state. So you want to have a wicking material on your body, something that drives the wet away, and then a wool layer over that so you can keep your warmth. But no cotton next to your body.
Yeah, so I was thinking about synthetics, mm-hmm. and then a wool layer, and of course a waterproof layer on the outside. Yeah. And then thinking about shoes, and it's always great to have a backpack with you, of course, for all your layers to go into when you get too hot, because mm-hmm. you still get warm on these days of hiking. A thermos is awesome.
Extra socks.
Extra socks are great to have in your car. Yes. Yep, and you know, it's a great time to buy gear at the ski swap that's coming up. There are two, one in Ashland, but it's later next month. But the one that's soon is in Mount Shasta, and it's through the Sportsman's Den, and that is November 1st. And that is a great way to get all the gear you might need for the season that's used and some new, but it's a great way to get in to the sports of outside in the winter without spending too much.
Okay, and when we talk about shoes, I have tennis shoes. I don't think that's going to do it. Will it?
Well, your tennis shoes will be good in town maybe still, right? Yeah. I'd say so. But there's a lot of good wet hiking boots. REI is a great place to go try a bunch of stuff on and mm-hmm. see what feels comfortable, as leather could be a little stiff and uncomfortable in the cold. So sometimes more of a synthetic type shoe might be better. But it's really preference. You got to go try stuff on.
Okay. And it's all about whether or not you're going to go mountaineering or hiking. So they're very two different shoes.
Okay, explain to me the difference, because either way, you're going up or down.
Hiking is more on a trail, you know, on a road or something like that, in my opinion. And mountaineering is more out where you're climbing.
Okay, so if I go up to Roxy Ann, I'm hiking. If I go up to the Table Rocks, I'm hiking.
Yes.
If I go up to Mount Shasta.
Yes, mountaineering.
Mountaineering. What about Mount Ashland? Is there mountaineering on Mount Ashland?
You probably could do a little bit of both.
Probably in areas.
Might be a great place to train if you wanted to think about mountaineering. But really, your tennis shoes will be just fine when you're adventuring here out your door most of the time, unless you're getting into snow or a rainy day.
Well, when you talk about training, I'd rather just climb inside of a gym.
Yeah.
Start on a mountain.
Well, speaking of a gym, that we do have that great Rogue climbing gym. And that is a fun way to feel like you're outside when it's super stormy during the winter or these season coming up where it's starting to get a little too cold to be outside and you still want to get out and adventure and train, I guess you could say. But that's a great place to go. And they have an annual pass that you can buy that is great with your kids, or I used to go on a date there with my husband all the time. It was like we'd drop the kids off at school and be like, let's go climb together.
Okay, so you have a very adventurous husband.
I do.
So what about horseback riding? Can we do that?
That's me. Fall? Yep. So I have had some fabulous rides this fall. It is hunting season. So that being said, well, hunting season is kind of just coming to an end, mm-hmm. correct? So this last month, though, when I was out riding, you have to think about what you have on your body. You got to be like maybe in bright colors, like bright pink, bright orange. I even put a bandana on my dog. And that's for hikers too. It's important. If you're not out there hunting yourself, you better be prepared to.
And I do believe there's bird seasons that flow
that
later
continue.
In the year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like deer season.
Yeah. So out horseback riding, I have to be aware of that with gunshots and whatnot. But it is still a season to ride. Now, as the season gets a little colder and the snow is coming, I will ride lower in the valley.
Okay. So when you talk about hunting season, hunting for what?
Normally deer, it just ended deer season. Their bow season is from September to October, and then rifle season goes from September into also October. So they balance each other out. The bow hunters are first, and then the rifle hunters.
And that's for deer and elk and bear. And like Jen said, we are going into
I don't know when the season ends for elk or bear, but there's bird season also, the turkeys and the quail and stuff like that.
Yeah, so when you're out and about in the high country, don't be surprised if you run into hunters.
Okay, and so how do we make sure that we stay safe?
Bright
Wear
colors.
Orange.
Yes, Nicole nailed it with the bright colors.
Yeah.
And be loud.
Yeah, I often put little bells on my dog or on my horse saddles just so we can be heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about fishing?
Fishing is huge. I know that the fishing regulations in Northern California are very confusing. So to do the research and know before you go what areas are legal to fish and what areas are not.
Is this still a good time for fishing?
Fishing's really year-round, especially fly fishing and lake fishing. It is year-round. And it's I think I see a lot of fishermen in the winter surprisingly bundled up, sitting out there in their boats or on the lake shore of like Lake Siskiyou. I think it's impressive because to me it seems slow.
And the fishing along the Klamath River is great right now from what I'm understanding. Lots of salmon coming up, so it's nice.
Okay, now getting to these places means we have to travel sometimes in inclement weather or bad road conditions.
And again, know before you go, check the road conditions, check the mountain conditions, wherever you're going to adventure. I would rather know before I leave.
And it is a popular season here for people to get their studded tires on their car. And I say get on it before it's too late.
And have extra supplies, extra water, just in case there is a slide or something and you might be stuck for a while. So
we should ensure that we have food and water in our vehicles.
Absolutely.
Always.
Right.
And, of course, enough fuel and studded tires and snow chains.
Snow chains are good, unless you have an all-wheel drive, which I feel like most people do now. It's, you know, we live in that kind of country here where all-wheel drive is popular. Subarus, four-wheelers.
And with the chains, practice putting them on before you actually need them.
Well, that's
helpful.
Yeah, just make the kids do it.
Make the kids do it, yes. I like it.
So where's some of the good places to go sledding?
Right out here on Mount Ashland is a great one. Mount Shasta has Snowman's Hill also, but there's also backcountry skiing and sledding in the Etna Summit area and Carter Meadows area. There's all kinds of places to pull off on the side of the road.
So is this a good time to be thinking about getting those sleds instead of waiting until the winter when everyone's...
Wants one? Yeah, probably.
I would go to the gear swaps. The gear swaps are a great place to get educated on what is available and what those kinds of costs are.
Now, where can we find these gear swaps?
Well, there's one in Mount Shasta coming up November 1st, and that's through Sportsman's Den in fifth season. So November 1st, I believe it's pretty early, like 10 in the morning, but it's a great swap to hit because there are a lot of backcountry athletic folks that are selling their gear of all types and kids gear. What a great place to get your kids gear. Because buying new anything for your kids when it comes to that, they outgrow it within 2 months sometimes. So that is a great one to hit. And there's one here in Ashland, but it's not until later in November.
Okay.
We can talk about it next time.
Okay. So as we get ready to take a short break, I just want to make sure that I'm going to be prepared for winter. So I need good layers. I need studded tires. And I need water in my vehicle. So those are the things I need.
Yep, and it's a sense of adventure.
And a sense of adventure.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and take a short break. We'll be back shortly with my guests, Nicole Larson and Jennifer Bray. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Joining me in the studio to guide us through this October episode of the JX Outside are Nicole Larson and Jennifer Bray. Our other guide, Ray Pettengell, is somewhere in the Swiss Alps, and he joins us now. Ray, where are you?
Hey, Mike. It's Ray Pettengell from Rogue Valley Ray. I am sitting in Zurich, Switzerland right now. I just got into Switzerland last night by train.
Okay, so why are you in Switzerland?
Well, I've been traveling overland in Germany for about a week. I was here for motorcycle training and a bit of a competition. And then I decided to take the train to visit some friends in Zurich. And then I'm going to move on to France and just kind of take advantage of being in Europe while I'm here. So I'm here to get outside a little bit. I've been took a really nice walk today. I've walked about 8 miles. And if you're familiar with Europe or not, they're very set up for public transportation and walking. It's all about taking nice leisurely walks. And it's a pretty similar season to what's going on over there. I got to listen to the early part of the show around the being prepared with the layers and the shoes and the getting the cars ready, except for I haven't driven a car since I've been here.
So you went for an 8 mile walk. Describe your surroundings.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I was trying to think of that today on the walk, knowing that I was going to come on and chat with you guys. And it's ironically pretty similar to, the Rogue Valley. It was like I was walking along the Rogue River, but I was walking on the Rhine River. So the Rhine River begins actually on Lake Constance in Switzerland and along the Switzerland-Germany border, and then travels up through France and ends up in Netherlands and Belgium. But the surroundings, I was ironically, again, walking through vineyards along autumn-colored leaves, walking trails, looking at vineyards, looking at scenic vistas. Pretty dramatic Swiss Alps, I must say that those are slightly different than the Rogue Valley. But, you know, we have Mount Shasta and we have other Mount McLaughlin. We have the other mountains there. But the Alps are special. They're a range. They're all snow covered at this point. I'm looking for more sort of adventures up in the mountains. But I'm not going to be climbing the Swiss Alps per se in October. I think I'll be taking more leisurely walks in the mountains on these called Wanderwegs. They basically have these walking paths. Very clearly marked, very clearly outlined. They give you distances, times, to the different villages. And like I said, I didn't get in a car today. I did everything by public transportation, by bus, by train, and by walking. And I've got about 8 miles in so far. But
You sound like a tourist. I know you've climbed Mount Shasta over 100 times. What do you think the difference would be between climbing Mount Shasta and climbing one of the Alps?
Oh, I've been climbing in the Alps. It's a different experience. You know, it's definitely a different culture here. So, for instance, also differences is the history and the sort of age. I'm sitting in a farmhouse in Zurich right now that was built in 1664, and it's a family home. We looked at buildings today built in the 1600s regularly throughout our walk today. Climbing in the Alps is very accessible, I would say, by, again, these public transportations get you to the villages. There's trams and things. There's also very set up mountain huts in the Alps, which differ from our camping experience that Jen and Nicole and I have all spoken to around Mount Shasta. Mountaineering there, you're camping and snow camping, and you're prepared for conditions, you know, to be outside. Here in the Alps, they have these rusticos and stone houses and these mountain huts that are pretty well prepared. I have, for instance, climbed Mont Blanc, which is in the French region of the Alps, and we climbed all day and then we stumbled into a mountain hut and ended up, you know, having a dinner and a glass of wine while still up on the mountain. That's the biggest difference. It's not going to happen too easily on Mount Shasta or any of our mountains in our region.
What's the temperature like and what's the weather like right now?
Yeah, great, great question. It's about 40 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. It was a beautiful day, slightly overcast, a nice view, blue skies mottled with clouds. I had layers like we had talked about. I wear wool, and I bring another layer, and I brought a waterproof layer. Same things you guys just talked about. I bring a beanie. Don't forget gloves. Put a blanket in your car too, Mike. I was listening to you guys earlier. That's also a handy thing to have just in case.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I brought a hat. I brought sunglasses. Wore them sometimes. Didn't wear them sometimes. I also brought a backpack with water and snacks. So, yeah, I'm layered up. I wore jeans, and you know, I didn't have special shoes because the walkways were actually really moderate. I would say, like, the paths along the river, the little bit of hiking we did through the woods, I was in sneakers because I only brought two pairs of shoes with me. I brought motorcycle boots and I brought sneakers, and I'm getting by with just some sneakers on these trips I'm doing so far. But I'm hoping to shop for some Gore-Tex shoes while I'm here in Europe, actually. Some waterproof sort of transitional shoes from, you know, the season from summer sneakers to winter hiking.
Well, you ladies have anything you want to say to Ray?
Well, Ray, I have been following along on your adventure on social media, and it looks like it's been really fantastic. I loved your picture with Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he and I, we did a little motorcycle class together. Yep.
Yeah, that looked really fun. So are you going to be doing any, like, bigger adventures for the rest of your time there, or are you really just kind of slowing down?
Yeah, so we're looking at maybe going to either the Matterhorn or taking a sort of going down to southern Switzerland to Locarno, Como. We won't make it all the way down to the Dolomites. I know that some of you know the region in Italy there, but we're probably going to be taking a couple-day adventure and doing a little bit more adventurous hike, and hopefully with some of the mountain huts still open in southern Switzerland, getting up for an overnight in one of those mountain huts that I was just mentioning.
And that comes with, like, comfy beds, right? That's like a comfortable bed with a down blanket.
It comes with, you don't, yeah, you don't exactly. They have
I've been.
The pillows. You basically bring a day pack and
yes.
You show up, and they make you food. They have your bed. They have the duvet. It's pretty special.
Yeah.
So I'll be hiking with a day pack and some snacks and some layers and a beanie. And
Ray, speaking of food,
you're going to be doing that.
Speaking of food, what kind of food are you eating?
Oh, there's just amazing food over here. I had an apartment for the past week when I was staying in Germany for my motorcycle training. So I cooked some of my own food, but there's the German food was okay. There was like schnitzels and potato salads. Ironically, there's good pizzas here. There's bratwurst and there's really delicious bread. The family I'm staying with just made a huge three or four loaves of bread for a celebration tonight for a birthday party that we're going to be having here at the house. Fresh homemade food. Street food is all delicious. People drink a lot of coffees and cappuccinos. We also went chocolate sampling, of course, today. We were in Zurich, so we had to go test some chocolate, which is phenomenal. The cheeses are delicious.
All things that you should take hiking with you and put in your backpack,
exactly,
correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So even here, we need those things in our backpacks.
So that's a good point.
Calories.
It is. High calorie.
What do we pack?
Absolutely.
When we get ready to go for a hike? My guests are Nicole Larson, Jennifer Bray, and Ray Pettengill. They're our resident guides for our new monthly series, JX Outside. What do we put in our backpack to make sure that, you know, we don't starve?
I'd say my favorite, hands down, is a turkey sandwich. I love a turkey sandwich on my backpacking trips. You know, day backpacking trips. That and, of course, chocolate, nuts.
Nuts. I love my pumpkin seeds.
Yeah.
I've got trail mix.
Absolutely.
Thermos with warm
thermos
electrolytes.
With warm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of the nuts also, and string cheese, you know, any kind of snacky foods. I don't really like big meals, but the snacky foods for sure.
And if you have a dog, I always bring a little extra jerky for my dog.
Jerky for sure.
And if I have my horses, I bring carrots and apples because they need snacks too.
Okay. Well, Ray, is it family friendly? Is it dog friendly where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not dissimilar from the Rogue Valley, other than some of this history and some of the buildings I'm looking at. We stopped after the hike today and went in a restaurant on the Rhine River, which, again, this was in a village about 30 minutes outside of Zurich. We took the train. Very family friendly, again, I was going to mention the sort of the demographic of the people I went hiking with. There was seven of us ranging from about 22 years old to 65 years old. And we did the whole hike along the Rhine River together. Just exploring and telling stories and sharing travel stories, all in English. This is a very worldly group of mostly Swiss folks. And yeah, it's a very sweet, easygoing place to get around, and feels very safe and comfortable and very fun. It was a gorgeous day. And
Ray,
just for reference, it's already 6 o'clock for me p.m. by the way.
Ray, I have a question. Is there festivities happening for Halloween there?
There are, and that's a great question, because I know I'm sad. I hear you guys talking about the Halloween stuff, and I'm really sad to miss it this year, because it is one of my favorite holidays, especially in Ashland, Oregon, with the parade. Ooh. That I'm so sad to miss this year, because I won't be home until early November. But yeah, there are going to be Halloween festivities, and I did ask that question, so I'm going to have to find some fun.
That's
to have
fun.
Here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mention how it reminds you of home, because in all my adventures, whether I'm in California, Colorado, West Virginia, so many of my hiking adventures remind me of home, which remind me how lucky we are to live here. And in every direction we go, there's water or a high peak to go to.
I mean, we have the Trinity Alps just south of
here. We have five in California. We have the Russian Wilderness, the Marble Mountain Wilderness, the Trinity Alps, the Red Buttes Wilderness, and the Siskiyou.
And they do feel very European.
And it's all right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's right there. I didn't have to come to Switzerland. That was a choice. But
that's
yeah,
for the chocolate. We're so lucky.
There's maybe slightly better chocolate here.
Yeah, and down comforters.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who cannot travel to the Alps, and we're not as fortunate as Ray, and I appreciate Ray joining us from the Alps. I know that it's late there, but I thank you for weighing in and telling us about your adventures. But for those who are not that adventurous, what can we do just stepping outside where we are?
I have mapped a route around my town, so leaving from my front door and go on the outskirts of my town. And when I get back to my front door, it's 2.5 miles. So just plotting routes around your town. And then you can see what everybody's growing in their gardens. You know, the crocus are coming up. The dahlias are still blooming in some areas, and the hollyhocks. And then these leaves. Oh, my God. It is the perfect
Lithia
mix
Park
between
must be going
winter
crazy.
And fall right now. So I just love it.
Yeah. You know, I just had this moment where I was thinking about how can we pretend we are in the Alps. Like, Ray, you know, Hyatt Lake is a great spot to go right now. And there is a little restaurant there. I can't say it would be, you know, the same food options that Ray is having, but you get a hot coffee, you get snowy along the lake, you could fish. You might feel like you're further away than you are. Also, Lake of the Woods. The lodge is still open. It's so pretty up there when the snow is fresh. So this might feel a little European.
Don't forget the Rogue River. That's got to be special this time of year.
I recently discovered Wood River. I had never heard of Wood River. I went to the headwaters of the Wood River just outside of Chiloquin, which is on everybody's travel agenda, right? It is absolutely magical up there. I highly recommend it.
I saw photos of Jen on that trip, and she was cold plunging.
That is where my cold plunging for this year started, so I'm super excited. The weather is getting cold.
Yeah.
Cold. That's very, very cold. I've been there. That's a cold one.
That's cold year-round.
Yeah.
What is cold plunging?
Cold plunging is where you intentionally submerge into very, very cold water. And then you focus on your breath, you focus on your mind, and you just feel everything. And then to get out, I don't know, there's this amazing sense of calm, I guess, when my body gets out of the fight or flight response.
How long do you stay in there?
It depends on the water. Sometimes I stay in for 2 minutes, and one time I stayed in for 15. So it all depends on your mental state and safety.
Oh, my word. 2 minutes.
It's a long 2 minutes.
I'm thinking 2 seconds.
I still will go to the hot spring and maybe the sauna.
Yeah, it's taught me some very important life lessons, like stepping with intention anywhere I go and focusing on my breath. And it helps me get through whatever.
Okay, so the rivers, the lakes. We talked about the forests. We talked about hiking. Ray's in the Alps. He's having a great 8-mile walk with family and friends. Is there anything else? We talked about gardening, and yet people are starting to wrap it up.
It is a time to plant your bulbs, your fruit trees, and
broccoli.
Garlic. Yep.
Garlic. Onions.
Onions, yep. And get ready for next year.
Crocus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. That's all the time we have. Thank you all for being our guides today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. It was a great time.
See you, Nicole.
Bye, Ray. I'll see you soon.
Nice to meet you, Ray.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.